so many of the situations and circumstances that you and I face in our daily lives, 3,000 years after the Proverbs were written. And this morning, I want to take up a subject which I think is very pertinent to all our lives. Surviving my schedule. Surviving my schedule. Have you ever gotten to the end of a day and said to yourself, did I really accomplish anything today? Have you ever asked yourself the question, where on earth does my time go? Well, here's part of the answer. U.S. News and World Report says that in an average lifetime, an American will spend 6 years eating. Some of us a little bit more than that. 5 years waiting in line. 4 years doing housework, you poor ladies. 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls. 1 year looking for misplaced objects. 8 months opening junk mail. 6 months sitting at a stoplight. Now that causes stress, doesn't it? The National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health has released a study which says that executive stress costs this country $20 billion a year. Think of that. That's a lot of money. Now, is there an antidote to enable you to survive your schedule? Is there a way out of the stress problem? Yes, there is. The book of Proverbs gives three keys to reducing the stress of your schedule. Proverbs says that if you want to get control of your schedule, number one, write it down now on your outline, number one, line up your priorities. Line up your priorities. Put first things first. Number two, lighten up your attitude. Lighten up your attitude. Don't take yourself too seriously. And number three, look up to God. Look up to God. Reverence Him with all your heart. So, number one, line up your priorities. Look at Proverbs 17:24. An intelligent person aims at wise actions, but a fool starts off in many directions. Have you ever tried to do 30 things at once? Solomon says that a fool like Don Quixote jumps on his horse and gallops off in all directions at once. Folks, let me tell you, write this down. Selection is the name of the game. Selection is the name of the game. Line up your priorities. Because you've got to decide what's really important because you just don't have time to do everything. Proverbs 12:11 says, it is stupid to waste time on useless projects. We've got to learn the difference between urgent and important. You've got to learn the difference between activity and accomplishment. Have you ever caught yourself majoring in the minors? You know, some things are not necessarily wrong. They are just not necessary. So you've got to major on the majors. And what is the solution? Just this. Line up your priorities. Look at what our text for this morning says. We should make plans counting on God to direct us. Now let me summarize a whole bunch of verses from Proverbs. Proverbs teaches that you ought to think through the direction of your life. You need to plan your life. If I didn't get up in the morning and have my devotions and then take out my day timer and write down in the order of priority the things I want to do that day, I would be lost. Absolutely lost. It's amazing to me how people write out their last will and testament, but they never write out any life objectives or life goals. Now, what that means is that they are obviously better prepared for death than they are for living. Solomon says you need to plan out your life. Why? Because you're going to live your life either by priorities or by pressures. One of those two things is going to be in control of your life. And if you don't set your own agenda, guess what? Somebody else is going to set it for you. Jesus modeled this. One day he was out praying, and the disciples found him, and they said, "Master, everybody has been looking for you." You see, they wanted him to get back to healing people who were ill. But he said, "No, we're not going to do that. We're going on to another town." He set his priorities. So line up your priorities. Do first the things that are urgent and need to be done. And then rate yourself. How clear are my priorities? You say, "I don't have any. I'm heading off in 50 directions all at once." Well, give yourself just a 1 for that. You say, "I've got fuzzy priorities. I make a to-do list." Let me give you a time management tip. Make a don't-do list. Things that you never should do because they're not really all that important in your life. You say, "I've got a written-out life objective." Well, that puts you in the top 2% of people in this nation today. Give yourself a 10. If you've ever sat down and said, "This is what I really want to do with my life. These are the goals I'm going to aim at achieving." You are on your way to a fulfilled life. You really are. Line up your priorities. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing that Proverbs teaches is this. Lighten up your attitude. Because the Bible teaches that stress is not, after all, an event. Stress is an attitude. You can take two people and put them in the exact same situation, and one of them is quite relaxed while the other is uptight. It's not the event, it's how you handle and respond to the event that is really important. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down." Oh, how true that is. What Solomon is saying is this: lighten up. Don't take life so seriously. Jim Irwin one of the astronauts who went to the moon and is now in full-time Christian ministry, was once asked, "What does it take to be an astronaut?" And he said, "Well, first of all, you need an intense desire to get away from it all." Lighten up your attitude. You know, humor is a great stress reliever. It's life's shock absorber. I pity a person who doesn't have a sense of humor, especially a person who cannot laugh at himself. Nothing helps you to lighten up like laughing at yourself, because that means that you're not taking yourself too seriously. Humor doesn't change the situation, but it changes your perspective and helps you handle things better. I heard about a fellow who was late for an appointment, and he drove around the block two or three times and couldn't find a parking space. So he pulled into a no parking zone and left a note on his windscreen that said, "This is an absolute emergency. I promise I will be back in 15 minutes. And he ran into the meeting, made his presentation, eyeing his watch all the time, and he was back down to the car in 12 minutes, only to find a parking ticket on his windshield. And he grabbed it in disgust. And then he nearly swallowed his tonsils when he saw that the traffic cop had written at the bottom of the ticket just three words: "Take your time." I just want to say to all of you, lighten up a bit. Lighten up. I'm thankful that I've always been able to do that, because I believe it has enhanced my health and my joy in ministry. I don't know a more stressed out area than metropolitan Washington. And we all need to remember this verse: anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. Boy, is that ever true. Now look at this next verse, Proverbs 14:30. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Do you know why a relaxed attitude is so important? Because things don't always go as planned. Don't you know that as well as I do? They don't. And we have to learn how to ride with the punches. And the first rule of stress management is this, and you've all heard it many times. Number one, don't sweat the small stuff. And rule two, it's all small stuff. It's all small stuff in God's eyes. But someone says, "Pastor, if you had my problems, you wouldn't be able to relax." Well, maybe not, but I believe we all need to practice what I would call relaxed concern. Relaxed concern. Jesus modeled that also. He was never in a hurry. His first public recorded words at the age of 12 were, you remember, "I must be about my Father's business." He had an overarching purpose for his life, even at the age of 12. And then some of his last recorded words at age 33 were, "It is finished." Now, when he said, "It is finished," had Jesus healed everybody? Had he saved everybody? Had everybody been fed? No. In fact, he said, the poor you will always have with you. But he said in his great high priestly prayer in the upper room the night before he was crucified, he said this, listen. He said, Father, I have brought you glory on earth. How? By completing everything you told me to do. You see, Jesus had a relaxed concern. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Now, I'm not talking about callousness, God forbid. I'm just saying, do your best and leave the results to God. That's it. Now look at this verse, Proverbs 17:22. Being cheerful keeps you healthy. It is a slow death to be gloomy all the time. I like that. Isn't that a great verse? He says, line up your priorities and then lighten up your attitude. You know, it has been said that a pessimist is a person who, when faced with two evils, chooses both. Medical research confirms the fact that being cheerful keeps you healthy. Do you know that there are positive chemical changes that take place in your brain when you smile or laugh? It produces cells that increase immunity from disease. It produces endorphins, which are the body's painkiller. Your entire muscular system relaxes. Have you ever laughed so heartily that you actually grew weak? It relaxes you. You need to be able to see the humor in life. Instead of getting into a frenzy over that jerk on the beltway, just laugh at his stupidity. You know what Plato said? He said, life should be lived as play. Maybe that's why they called him Plato. Oh, sorry about that. Now, I hear people say all the time, Pastor, I find it hard to relax and play. I have relatives who find it very hard to do that. You don't know the tension I'm under at work. You don't know the tension I'm under at school. You don't know the tension I'm under with my marriage and my family. I'll relax and play when I feel better. The fact is, folks, when you play, you will feel better. Have you ever heard someone say, when they're encountering some sore trial in their life, someday I'm going to look back on this and I'm going to laugh? Have you ever heard that? When I hear that, I want to say, well, why wait? Why not do it right now? Laugh now! Ha, ha, ha! Why not? Employers, have a relaxed attitude with your people. You know that when people are having fun, they're more productive. They build camaraderie. You need to lighten up, because two of the greatest causes of stress are, number one, you try to do too much. You don't line up your priorities. And number two, you take yourself too seriously. So practice what we might call creative loafing, taking little mini vacations, some of them lasting only a day or two. And then rate yourself on this one. How positive is my attitude? Have I been laughing and playing enough? Rate yourself on that. So line up your priorities and lighten up your attitude. And then Solomon says, if you want to relieve the stress in your schedule, look up to God. Look up to God. Look at Proverbs 10:27. I love this verse. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. Isn't that an amazing statement and a great promise? Are you stressed out because of your schedule? Reverence for God adds hours to each day. It's very important to know this because stress is simply a warning light. Whenever I get stressed out, it just means that I've taken my eyes off the Lord. It means that I've started looking at something else. I'm looking at the circumstance instead of looking at the Lord. Now, some of you are saying, Pastor, I need more time to do the things that need to be done. Do you know what God says? He says, no, you don't. You need more time with me. You don't need more time. God gives each one of us the same amount of time, doesn't he? 168 hours a week, 10,080 minutes a week, 604,800 seconds a week. What you and I need is more time with God because that expands your day. You know, it's something like tithing. I believe that if I give the first 10% back to God, somehow God will see to it that I live better on the remaining 9/10 than if I lived on my total salary. I have proved that time after time. And when I give part of my time back to God in a daily quiet time of prayer and Bible reading, somehow He expands the rest of the day. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. Circle that word reverence. What does reverence mean? It simply means to take God seriously. Now let me sum up the whole message in two sentences. This is what I want to say to you today, really. The reason you get stressed out because of your schedule is because, number one, you take yourself too seriously, and number two, you don't take God seriously enough. That's why you experience such stress and pressure. Look at Proverbs 14:26. Reverence for God gives a man deep strength. Isn't that a great verse? Martin Luther once said, I'm so busy today that I've got to pray at least 3 hours. Think of that. That's why he was Martin Luther. He had his priorities right. Are you making time to get to know God? I'm not saying, are you taking time? I'm saying, are you making time? Or you may say, I don't have time to pray every day and read the Bible. Then, friend, you're just too busy. When you study the life of Jesus, you see that no matter how busy he was, he took time to pray every day, getting up before dawn, going out on the mountainside by himself to commune with his heavenly Father. Reverence for God gives a man deep strength. Let me tell you something, folks. A daily quiet time is a great decompression chamber, a de-stressor. Why? One of the reasons is that we become like the people we spend the most time with. Did you ever think about that? Who are you spending the most time with? I'm afraid some Christians spend more time with the soaps or with rock stars than with the Lord. But remember, you become like the people you spend the most time with. Always. Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust the Lord completely. In everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. What do you have your eyes on? One of the sources of stress is indecision. And this verse says that if you trust God, He will always point you in the right direction. Instead of looking to the Lord, are you looking exclusively at your problems? Corrie ten Boom used to say that if you look at the world, you will be distressed. If you look within yourself, you will be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you will be at rest. How true. You see, it depends upon what you have your eyes focused on. What are you looking at? The circumstance or the one who overcomes the circumstance? Put God first in every area of your life and He will direct you. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that if you take this message home with you and pray these 3 points every day, there's going to be a marked change in your attitude toward life and toward your schedule. And when you get up in the morning and have your quiet time of prayer and Bible reading, you can say, Lord, today help me to line up my priorities and do first things first. And help me to lighten up my attitude and not take myself too seriously. And above all, Lord, help me to look to You and reverence You and take You seriously, putting You first in my life. And then watch the difference it'll make. Now let's wrap it up. Look at this question that Jesus asked in Mark 8:37. It was one of the first texts I ever preached on as a kid of 19. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Folks, that is the heart of time management right here. This is one of the most important questions Jesus ever asked. What will a man or a woman give in exchange for his soul? You see, every day you're exchanging your life for something. You may think your most important asset is your money. But it's not. It's your time. Money can come and go and you can make it again. But you have only a limited number of hours and your time is your life. And every time you give your time away, you never get it back. Never. And you can waste it or you can spend it. Or you can invest it. And the best use of your life is to invest your time in something that's going to outlast it. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I ask myself that question all the time. The older I get, I say, what am I giving my life for? What are you giving your life for? You see, Write this down. Write this down. You have just enough time to do the will of God. So you need to ask yourself every time you do something, every time you invest your time in something, is this worth my life? Because that's what you're giving it for. Is this worth a segment of my life? Be it 30 minutes or 1 hour or 1 day or 1 year of my life? Dr. Ralph Sockman once said, "Give the best you have to the highest you know and do it now." So what are you giving your life for? More important still, who are you living for? You see, if you tell me who you're living for, I will tell you how much stress you have in your life. Really, the issue is not that your schedule is out of control. The issue is that your life is out of control. If you don't have it controlled by the one who created you, that's it. You were not made to live apart from your God and Savior. You were made in such a way that God should manage your life and that Jesus Christ should be your Lord and Master. And one of the things that Christ brings into focus is your time. Along with your money and your relationships and your future and everything else, and that's what life's all about. Isn't it? So you need to line up your priorities and put first things first. And you need to lighten up your attitude. But most of all, you need to look up to God, because reverence for the Lord adds hours to each day. Many of you have had a really tough week. I know that. Many of you are here this morning, you're utterly stressed out. Jesus said it like this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Rest. And that's the best news that you and I could ever hear. Isn't it?